Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
My message to the legislature is that next year's budget process starts now. New York's families are already making the tough choices.
Anybody that tells me they've got a $10 billion budget and they can't find ways to cut 5%, that's just poor management. You have to be able to do that.
Governor Patterson from his fiscal crisis address last night and Mayor Bloomberg from last week admonishing the MTA to solve its financial problems with efficiency rather than fare and toll hikes. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we will have the governor's news conference live as he lays out the specific types of pain and pain relief that he's proposing. Until then, we're happy to have back with us the executive director and CEO of the MTA, Lee Sander. Mr. Sander, I always appreciate you coming on. Welcome back to WNYC.
My pleasure, Brian. Good to be here.
First, on the news of this morning, can you give us the latest on the malfunctioning MetroCard machines? Are they all taking credit and debit card again?
Yep.
Cards again?
Yes, they are. We have fixed it. It was a glitch that we had never seen before involving an encryptor, the mechanism that communicates electronic message from us to the banks. And we have two of them. One of them went out and fixed.
And on the latest...
And we're watching the other ones very closely.
So, but you think it's fixed. The problem is behind us now.
That's correct. That's correct. Again, you know, this is something, Brian, we never saw before, you know, a computer glitch, and, you know, we don't anticipate it happening again, but we're monitoring it. Even the device that told us it was supposed to be not working said it was on, but it was off.
And on the latest strap hangers ratings out today, the L and the 7 trains got the highest rankings, the M and the W got the lowest on the report card that measures regularity, frequency, overcrowding, cleanliness, few other things. Why is there such variability from line to line in one unified system?
Well, first, you know, we don't always agree with Strappinger's methodology, but what did come through was that, you know, the pilot program with general managers that, you know, we have, you know, that we've initiated is one of the, you know, several major transformative things we've been doing here came through. And that general manager's program is on the 7 and on the L, and it demonstrated, you know, significant improvement there. It also reflects the massive overcrowding. You know, our system has gone up in terms of ridership, and you see that, you know, reflected in the surveys and the data on delays. So, I mean, those are some of the takeaways from that data.
How don't you agree with the strap hangers methodology? These reports are all over the press whenever they come out. Certainly the subway riding press, like the tabloids and the free handout newspapers. So people see these things and, you know, probably more often than not nod their heads in agreement. What don't you like about how they measure you?
Well, first, Brian, I don't want to complain too much because Gene Reshinoff has been really, you know, positive in terms of what we've been doing here overall. So I appreciate that. It's more that, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's favored, ironically, the 7 and the L because it measures headways. And so, you know, the 7 and the L have high ridership. And so as a consequence, there's more service. And so they get a little bit of a benefit for the amount of service on those lines, whereas those lines that just have low ridership have less service. And that tilts this survey a little bit in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having said that, you know, certainly I think it's good that they do it, and you know, it does reflect, you know, the you know, the benefit, I think, of the general manager's program and what we've done there and what transit can do when it has the resources.
So you have this manager of the line now, right? There's a manager of the number 7 line and of the L line, and that's the first round of this experiment. So are you going to do this now with all the lines?
It's likely to occur. We want to bring it to our board just so they are aware of what we're doing there. But we're moving in strongly in that direction with the IRT in the fall. And, you know, it is probably the most dramatic institutional change in transit. transit and subways probably since it was created. You've got all these stovepipes where there's no one person in charge, and as a consequence, you have more delays, you have worse information to the customers, and by having one person who's really accountable in a with a manageable scope, a subway line, we think that you can see improvement, and we've begun to see that. The results are better than we thought they would be, and we're pretty confident about the program.
You said this will happen on the IRT. That's a throwback.
Likely.
Meaning that's the numbered trains, right?
That's right, and that's where we're seeing the incredible impact of overcrowding and delays. You know, the line has been written about how our on-time performance has declined by 1%, and the delays have increased by about 24%. And again, there's just a direct correlation between the overcrowding on the IRT lines, particularly the 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and those delays.
We'll take questions on the phone and on our comments page. For Lee Sander, Executive Director and CEO of the MTA, 646-778-3729, 646-SPUDRAY, 646-778-3729, or 646-SPUDRAY, or, of course, go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show to post a comment or a question. And we will be carrying Governor Patterson's budget news conference coming up after you, as I mentioned, and in his speech last night, he floated the idea of selling or leasing some bridges and tunnels. I assume those would be MTA bridges and tunnels. Do you like that idea?
Well, we're not the only entity in the state that have bridges that have tolls on them. I think you have to, as the governor said, and I think that's also the context for both the governor's and the mayor's comments about the MTA before, the state and the city have real financial problems, and I think that you have to give consideration for, all ideas conceptually, and certainly the concept of public-private partnerships, where you can take advantage of private sector capital without having a negative impact in terms of service or in terms of public policy concerns, I think should be looked at.
Well, budget watchdogs are criticizing that already as gimmickry because it's a one-shot. Would the money go to the state or the MTA?
Again, I think it's too early to tell whether the governor had in mind the MTA. You have, for example, the Tappan Zee Bridge, which is run by the Thruway. There had already been discussion about public-private partnerships on the Thruway in order to rebuild that bridge, which needs to be rebuilt.
Right. So he didn't come to you in advance and say, look, some of these bridges and tunnels might be the MTA ones, which are the ones within the city. And what do you think about this?
No, but what the governor did, has emphasized, which we're fully supportive of, is the concept of public-private partnerships, and to see where, when it makes sense from a policy perspective, to use the private sector.
Now, we played the clip of Mayor Bloomberg, and it was on our news a lot last week, saying an organization the size of yours, a $10 billion budget, should be able to cut 5% from its operating expenses without a fare hike to cover the new budget deficit. Is he wrong about that?
Well, I certainly agree with the mayor that an organization of this size should be able to cut 5%. What I'm not sure the mayor was aware of is that we actually had cut 5% already from 2004 to 2007, and that I'm committed to cutting an additional 6% on top of that over the next 4 years, including this year. And then on top of that, we added another $43 million to cut. And again, that's in the context of ridership increasing 40% in the last 10 years. And while there's some aspects where the ridership doesn't increase the demands on the organization, certainly in terms of cleaning, certainly in terms of stations, does have an impact. So, I think the mayor is right overall to say that we should be cutting. And we have some pretty ambitious plans to do that. We're going to be looking to see what more we can do. I do give credit to the mayor's delegation, which at the board meeting last week, said, as others said, there's no way, given the size of this cut, that the MTA can cut itself out of it just by itself.
Well, we had the state controller, Tom DiNapoli, on yesterday, mm-hmm. and we talked about the controller's office report in 2004 that found the MTA had about 2,100 redundant jobs, including 700 human resources employees doing the same thing in five different MTA locations. And the controller's follow-up report from last year that found little progress had been made in eliminating that duplication. So in fairness, that was mostly before you took over. But what's the story with that?
Glad you brought it up, Brian. One of the major transformative initiatives that I've mentioned that, you know, ends up on page 20 or 50 of the newspapers, doesn't end up on page 2, is our business services initiative, where we're going to be cutting 40% of those back offices that we now have, as a controller indicated, 7 agencies having their own back offices, and now I've created a new entity, MTA Business Services, that will reduce that by 40%. We have about 620 positions. This is the first piece of this. We have about 620 positions, people doing payroll, doing financial systems, and after 2 to 3 years, because you have to, in creating one business center, you have to develop new software so you can do it, you know, in a new improved way and eliminate those 40%, the 40% of those positions. And so we are now doing that. Very dramatic, not easy to do. And so basically agree with the controller and very proud of this initiative. Again, it's been out there, but again, it's on page 30, page 40, you know, and not there. It's, you know, unfortunately, you know, that message hasn't yet gotten through.
Well, now it's out here. How many total?
We appreciate that.
How many total employees does the MTA have?
We have 68,000 employees overall. Largest is New York City Transit with 45,000 or so, and then, you know, the commuter rails and the other bus companies, which we've merged into one bus company.
So you're going to be laying off a lot of back office people?
No, you know, our plan is to do this through attrition. That's one of the reasons why we're doing it over 4 years. We would prefer not to do it, you know, with layoffs. You know, when you look at the rate of attrition, there's no way that you could hit a 5 or 6% reduction without involving layoffs. And, you know, we're trying to avoid that if we can. Also, you need a little bit of time to develop these new systems. You can't just take all these people who are doing payroll. You know, people need to get their checks every 2 weeks and what have you, and our vendors, and just, you know, wipe them out. You have to develop, you know, new systems to do this, and that's what we're on target to do.
CEO and Executive Director of the MTA, Lee Sander, with me on WNYC, coming up probably in about 12 minutes, if they start on time, Governor Patterson's fiscal crisis news conference, in which he's expected to get specific about what kind of pain, what kind of pain relief for New Yorkers. Here is another clip of Governor Patterson expressing doubt about a fare and toll hike last week.
With our economic climate, I can't tell you anything about what decisions might be made in the next year. What I can tell you is that I don't think it's wise to impose a fare hike this soon on commuters right after we did the last time.
Now, Mr. Sander, if the governor and mayor oppose a fare and toll hike, they appoint the MTA board. Governor Spitzer appointed you.
Mm-hmm.
Who's in charge, them or you and the board? Because he sounds like he was being sort of plaintive toward you guys.
Well, I think you have to, you know, look at the complete statement, and what both the governor and the mayor pointed to was the Ravitch Commission, which the governor asked Astik Ravitch to lead this commission that'll be working over the fall to come up with recommendations about how to deal with our budget gap, not just the $1 billion operating budget gap that we have, basically caused by debt service that we inherited from the previous administration, as well as our capital program, which is short $15 to $20 billion. And so, you know, I certainly understand, respect, you know, the governor and the mayor, you know, saying that, you know, we have to look at everything else first, and let's see what the Ravitch Commission does. So I think the governor and the mayor put, you know, laid out where they were, but fundamentally are supportive of the Ravitch Commission coming up with recommendations. And our board, certainly the governor and the mayor appoint our board, and they're respectful of the board, and we together will be dealing with that situation, really working with the Ravitch Commission.
We're going to go to your calls and comments for Lee Sander in just a minute, starting with Magenta in Hudson Heights, who wants to know why the locals don't wait in the station for the express train connections more often. Stay with us.
My message to the legislature is that next year's budget process starts now. New York's families are already making the tough choices.
Anybody that tells me they've got a $10 billion budget and they can't find ways to cut 5%, that's just poor management. You have to be able to do that.
Governor Patterson from his fiscal crisis address last night, and Mayor Bloomberg from last week admonishing the MTA to solve its financial problems with efficiency rather than fare and toll hikes. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we will have the governor's news conference live as he lays out the specific types of pain and pain relief that he's proposing. Until then, we're happy to have back with us the executive director and CEO of the MTA, Lee Sander. Mr. Sander, I always appreciate you coming on. Welcome back to WNYC.
My pleasure, Brian. Good to be here.
First, on the news of this morning, can you give us the latest on the malfunctioning MetroCard machines? Are they all taking credit and debit card again?
Yep. Yes, they are. We have fixed it. It was a glitch that we had never seen before, involving an encryptor, the mechanism that communicates electronic message from us to the banks. And we have two of them. One of them went out and fixed.
And on the latest,
and we're watching the other ones very closely.
So, but you think it's fixed? The problem is behind us now.
That's correct. That's correct. Again, you know, this is something, Brian, we never saw before, you know, a computer glitch, and, you know, we don't anticipate it happening again, but we're monitoring it. Even the device that told us it was supposed to be not working said it was on, but it was off.
And on the latest strap hangers ratings out today, the L and the 7 trains got the highest rankings, the M and the W got the lowest on the report card that measures regularity, frequency, overcrowding, cleanliness, few other things. Why is there such variability from line to line in one unified system?
Well, first, you know, we don't always agree with Strappinger's methodology, but what did come through was that, you know, the pilot program with general managers that, you know, we have, you know, that we've initiated is one of the, you know, several major transformative things we've been doing here came through. And that general manager's program is on the 7 and on the L, and it demonstrated, you know, significant improvement there. It also reflects the massive overcrowding. Our system has gone up in terms of ridership, and you see that, you know, reflected in the surveys and the data on delays. So, I mean, those are some of the takeaways from that data.
How don't you agree with the strap hangers methodology? These reports are all over the press whenever they come out. Certainly the subway riding press, like the tabloids and the free handout newspapers. So people see these things and, you know, probably more often than not nod their heads in agreement. What don't you like about how they measure you?
Well, first, Brian, I don't want to complain too much because Gene Reshinoff has been really positive in terms of what we've been doing here overall. So I appreciate that. It's more that, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's favored, ironically, the 7 and the L, because it measures headways, and so, you know, the 7 and the L have high ridership, and so as a consequence, there's more service, and so they get a little bit of a benefit for the amount of service on those lines, whereas those lines that just have low ridership have less service, and that tilts this survey a little bit in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having said that, you know, certainly I think it's good that they do it, and, you know, it does reflect, you know, the benefit, I think, of the general manager's program and what we've done there and what transit can do when it has the resources.
So you have this manager of the line now, right? There's a manager of the number 7 line and of the L line, and that's the first round of this experiment. So are you going to do this now with all the lines?
It's likely to occur. We want to bring it to our board just so they are aware of what we're doing there. But we're moving in strongly in that direction with the IRT in the fall. It is the most dramatic institutional change in transit and subways probably since it was created. You've got all these stovepipes where there's no one person in charge, and as a consequence, you have more delays, you have worse information to the customers, and by having one person who's really accountable in a manageable scope, a subway line, we think that you can see improvement, and we've begun to see that. The results are better than we thought they would be, and we're pretty confident about the program.
You said this will happen on the IRT. That's a throwback.
Likely.
Meaning that's the numbered trains, right?
That's right, and that's where we're seeing, you know, the incredible impact of overcrowding and delays. You know, that a lot has been written about how our on-time performance has declined by 1%, and the delays have increased by about 24%. And again, there's just a direct correlation between the overcrowding on the IRT lines, particularly the 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and those delays.
We'll take questions on the phone and on our comments page. For Lee Sander, Executive Director and CEO of the MTA, 646-778-3729, 646-SPUDRAY, 646-778-3729, or 646-SPUDRAY, or, of course, go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show to post a comment or a question. And we will be carrying Governor Patterson's budget news conference coming up after you, as I mentioned, and in his speech last night, he floated the idea of selling or leasing some bridges and tunnels. I assume those would be MTA bridges and tunnels. Do you like that idea?
Well, we're not the only entity in the state that have bridges that have tolls on them. I think you have to, as the governor said, and I think that's also the context for both the governor's and the mayor's comments about the MTA before, the state and the city have real financial problems, and I think that you have to give consideration for, all ideas conceptually, and certainly the concept of public-private partnerships, where you can take advantage of private sector capital without having a negative impact in terms of service or in terms of public policy concerns, I think should be looked at.
Well, budget watchdogs are criticizing that already as gimmickry because it's a one-shot. Would the money go to the state or the MTA?
Again, I think it's too early to tell whether the governor had in mind the MTA. You have, for example, the Tappan Zee Bridge, which is run by the Thruway. There had already been discussion about public-private partnerships on the Thruway in order to rebuild that bridge, which needs to be rebuilt.
Right. So he didn't come to you in advance and say, look, some of these bridges and tunnels might be the MTA ones, which are the ones within the city. And what do you think about this?
No, but what the governor did, has emphasized, which we're fully supportive of, is the concept of public-private partnerships, and to see where, when it makes sense from a policy perspective, to use the private sector.
Now, we played the clip of Mayor Bloomberg, and it was on our news a lot last week, saying an organization the size of yours, a $10 billion budget, should be able to cut 5% from its operating expenses without a fare hike to cover the new budget deficit. Is he wrong about that?
Well, I certainly agree with the mayor that an organization of this size should be able to cut 5%. What I'm not sure the mayor was aware of is that we actually had cut 5% already from 2004 to 2007, and that I'm committed to cutting an additional 6% on top of that over the next 4 years, including this year. And then on top of that, we added another $43 million to cut. And again, that's in the context of ridership increasing 40% in the last 10 years. And while, there's some aspects where the ridership doesn't increase the demands on the organization, certainly in terms of cleaning, certainly in terms of stations, does have an impact. So, I think the mayor is right overall to say that we should be cutting. And we have some pretty ambitious plans to do that. We're going to be looking to see what more we can do. I do give credit to the mayor's delegation, which at the board meeting last week, said, as others said, there's no way, given the size of this cut, that the MTA can cut itself out of it just by itself.
Well, we had the state controller, Tom DiNapoli, on yesterday, and we talked about the controller's office report in 2004 that found the MTA had about 2,100 redundant jobs, including 700 human resources employees doing the same thing in five different MTA locations. And the controller's follow-up report from last year that found little progress had been made in eliminating that duplication. So, in fairness, that was mostly before you took over. But what's the story with that?
Glad you brought it up, Brian. One of the major transformative initiatives that I've mentioned that, ends up on page 20 or 50 of the newspapers doesn't end up on page 2 is our business services initiative, where we're going to be cutting 40% of those back offices that we now have, as a controller indicated, seven agencies having their own back offices, and now I've created a new entity, MTA Business Services, that will reduce that by 40%. We have about 620 positions. This is the first piece of this. We have about 620 positions, people doing payroll, doing financial systems, and after 2 to 3 years, because you have to, in creating one business center, you have to develop new software so you can do it, you know, in a new improved way and eliminate those 40%, the 40% of those positions. And so we are now doing that. Very dramatic, not easy to do. And so basically agree with the controller. I'm very proud of this initiative. Again, it's been out there, but again, it's on page 30, page 40, you know, and not there. It's, you know, unfortunately, you know, that message hasn't yet gotten through.
Well, now it's out here. How many total?
And we appreciate that.
How many total employees does the MTA have?
We have 68,000 employees overall. Largest is New York City Transit with 45,000 or so, and then, you know, the commuter rails and the other bus companies, which we've merged into one bus company.
So you're going to be laying off a lot of back office people?
No, you know, our plan is to do this through attrition. That's one of the reasons why we're doing it over 4 years. We would prefer not to do it, you know, with layoffs. You know, when you look at the rate of attrition, there's no way that you could hit a 5 or 6% reduction without involving layoffs. And, you know, we're trying to avoid that if we can. Also, you need a little bit of time to develop these new systems. You can't just take all these people who are doing payroll. You know, people need to get their checks every 2 weeks and what have you, and our vendors, and just, you know, wipe them out. You have to develop, you know, new systems to do this, and that's what we're on target to do.
CEO and Executive Director of the MTA, Lee Sander, with me on WNYC, coming up. Probably in about 12 minutes, if they start on time, Governor Patterson's fiscal crisis news conference, in which he's expected to get specific about what kind of pain, what kind of pain relief for New Yorkers. Here is another clip of Governor Patterson expressing doubt about a fare and toll hike last week.
With our economic climate, I can't tell you anything about what decisions might be made in the next year. What I can tell you is that I don't think it's wise to impose a fare hike this soon on commuters right after we did the last time.
Now, Mr. Sander, if the governor and mayor oppose a fare and toll hike, they appoint the MTA board. Governor Spitzer appointed you.
Mm-hmm.
Who's in charge, them or you and the board? Because he sounds like he was being sort of plaintive toward you guys.
Well, I think you have to, you know, look at the complete statement, and what both the governor and the mayor pointed to was the Ravitch Commission, which the governor asked Dick Ravitch to lead this commission that will be working over the fall to come up with recommendations about how to deal with our budget gap, not just the $1 billion operating budget gap that we have, basically caused by debt service that we inherited from the previous administration, as well as our capital program, which is short $15 to $20 billion. And so, you know, I certainly understand, respect, you know, the governor and the mayor, you know, saying that, you know, we have to look at everything else first, and let's see what the Ravitch Commission does. So I think the governor and the mayor put, you know, laid out where they were, but fundamentally are supportive of the Ravitch Commission coming up with recommendations. And our board, you know, certainly the governor and the mayor appoint our board, and they're respectful of the board, and we together will be dealing with that situation, really working with the Ravitch Commission.
We're going to go to your calls and comments for Lee Sander in just a minute, starting with Magenta in Hudson Heights, who wants to know why the locals don't wait in the station for the express train connections more often. Stay with us.
WNYC receives support from The Public Theater, presenting Shakespeare in the Park. Hair, the American tribal love rock musical, now through August 31st. Summer supporters can receive a reserved seat. Free tickets at the Delacorte Theater in Central Park. Details at publictheater.org. Con Edison, serving New York City and Westchester County and helping customers to use energy wisely every day. Energy-saving tips are available at coned.com. The Whitney Museum of American Art, presenting Buckminster Fuller, Starting with the Universe, on view now through September 21st on Madison Avenue at 75th Street. More information at whitney.org.
This weekend, take the time to explore with Weekend Edition. Trawling the remote waters of the vast and pristine Xingu River is like scouting Eden. Cawing water birds and crickets lead the morning chorus.
On the media.
Internet cafes are to these immersion pods what a Hershey bar is to a bathtub full of molten Godiva.
Weekends on WNYC. Find the full schedule at WNYC.org.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up in 10 minutes. Live coverage of Governor Patterson's fiscal crisis news conference. We're with MTA Executive Director and CEO Elliot Sander. Until then, Magenta in Hudson Heights. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I have so many things that I'd love to say to this gentleman who I'm sure is doing the best possible job, but it's just completely counterintuitive how so many things function in this system, especially from somebody who has traveled around the world for a long time and brought in foreign visitors, and they look at this subway system and they say, and this is the greatest city in the world, and this is the subway system you have? Okay, my problem is this. I was trying to take a trip on the 6 a few days ago from 59th Street. I was trying to get to 28th Street. I got on the train, and lo and behold, no announcement. I find a bunch of people sitting around. We find ourselves passing 33rd Street, passing 28th Street, passing 23rd Street, and ending up at 14th Street. So pissed off as hell, a bunch of us go around, get on the uptown train with no announcement. I repeat, there was no announcement, at least not in that car. We get on the uptown train only to have the same thing happen on the 6. So passing 23rd Street, passing 28th Street, passing 33rd Street, ending up again at Grand Central. This is infuriating. Then we got on the
downtown. Now, I can't take the whole time between now and the governor's news conference to get every detail of the story, but we certainly get the idea and why it seems like things aren't being run well and some of those problems could have been avoidable. So, Lysander, I'm sure...
Basically, please, I think the first priority for security purposes as well as for efficiency purposes as well as for public relations purposes is get the announcements fixed so that you can hear them in all cars, so that they are audible, so that they are reliable, because the conductors don't even know what the hell's going on.
And I can tell you, Lysander, that on our comments page, the number one recurring complaint right now is communication, communication, communication. At least tell us and tell us clearly what's going on at the moment.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to get from email from the individual who just spoke what time that was, because we certainly will follow up on that. Those announcements should be made. One of the reasons why I'm very enthusiastic about the general manager program is that you'll have one person who is working closely with the command center that provides the information to our conductors about what should be said. I've experienced myself. Last night I was on the delay on the number 7 line, and there's no question that that aspect can be improved, and that's why I'm pleased with the positive reports about the number 7 in the L line, and that's one way that we will improve communications.
What's the email address that she should write to?
She can write to my email address, esander@mthq.org.
Esander, that's not Sanders, as some people are writing, but Sander, esander
right.
at...
Or she can send it to you and just forward it to me.
Okay. Brian Lehrer, show
Brian, I think you got to put everything in context, too. Now, there's no question that you have these issues. At the same time, you know, a lot of good news, not just the 7 in the L line, but our commuter rail performance, the best on-time performance in the history of the system, in terms of our bus system, the best mechanical reliability in the history of the system. So, you know, just like you did, Brian, you know, this emphasis on bad news, we got to deal with it. I'm proud of the improvements we're making. But let's also not forget how far we've come over the last 20 years and also some of the improvements that we're making.
Do you think the MTA board in general gets a bad rap? It's easy to see some of these guys who appear to be there for political patronage, who admit they don't use mass transit, even your predecessor in the top job, Peter Calico. He was a real estate developer, not a transit expert like you. So is the history of bad management And I understand you're saying look at the whole context of how things have gotten better over the last 25 years, but is patronage rather than skilled appointments at the very top a problem?
Well, I think you asked me about 4 different questions there, Brian. I think first you cannot lose sight of the big drivers here, which is the 40% increase in ridership on the system. That's the primary effect in terms of what's happening on the delays. So you got to keep that in mind. Two, you got to keep in mind it's a 100-year-old system, and in terms of signals and some of the things that have gone down, those need to be replaced. We need a Second Avenue subway. We need a new signal system. Can't lose sight of that. I think that Governor Pataki did not have the MTA and transportation, as he acknowledged, was not one of his highest priorities. And I think that what he did in terms of what transpired in the previous administration in terms of debt service, has had an effect. I don't think it was intentional. And we're dealing with it.
Yeah.
The board has been supportive. It's a varied board. The governor has appointments. The mayor has been has his appointments. Basically they've been supportive. And I think that if you watch the things that we're doing that we've begun a year and a half ago, things like general managers, things like the business services center, things like consolidating the management of the three bus companies so we operate as one. The age of our subway cars has increased over the last 3 years, but we're getting new ones in. So overall, I would say we're pretty stable, and we're making improvements. The big question is our capital program, because if that doesn't happen, then we have serious problems.
And Yosef in Manhattan has a question about that. Let me go to him, because we're going to run out of time. So, Yosef, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering if the Second Avenue subway, with all the budget cuts and stuff, is the Second Avenue subway going to be nixed again for the, eighth time?
Yeah, are we going to have a fifth groundbreaking for the Second Avenue subway a decade from now?
I certainly hope not. And that goes back to your previous caller about, our system compared to other transit systems around the country is, behind the curve. And we cannot, we cannot go backwards. And so, I'm hopeful that the recommendations of the Ravitch Commission will recommend the funding to help deal with our operating problem, and as importantly, our capital program. So that's what the Ravitch Commission is about. It's vital in terms of the overcrowding on Lexington Avenue subway system, and also other elements of our capital program are just as important as Second Avenue. So we're, my perspective, we need it now more than ever, given our overcrowding.
I want to play you a great clip of Assemblyman Richard Brodsky on this show the other day. You'll like this one. Talking about the importance of the capital program and being able to do this kind of building and system-wide improvement that you've got on your radar screen. He put it in terms of not just the economic interests, but the social fabric of New York City and vicinity. Listen to this.
Not just the economic interest, it's the getting people to work, it's the social fabric. We run a 24-hour system. It's a good system. It's relatively cheap. It's safe. It's speedy. And it gets people from Williamsburg to Harlem at 2 o'clock in the morning. That creates an ability to do a music industry. It creates cultural opportunities. It creates contact between different kinds of communities. It's not just the immediate get people to work for the economic benefit. It's the social vision of our community that's at stake, and it's
and
why we
have
got to make these decisions.
Now, that's Brodsky from Westchester, who was working against congestion pricing. But, he lives up there in Carland, but he seems to really get it at a deep level about the importance of mass transit to New York City and its future.
Yeah, Richard, I don't always agree with Richard, but I agree with him on a lot of stuff. And Richard is absolutely right. The transit system is central to the future of New York. The management that I have here and the stuff that we're doing is some of the finest in the country. And our numbers are, are great in terms of the rest of the country. We can run a first-rate transit system. It's 100 years old. Commuter rail is 150 years old. And if we don't have the investment to keep it, to at least keep it where it is and make improvements like Second Avenue, East Side Access, I believe, as many others do, that the future of the region is at risk. We cannot let it go backwards. But operationally, in terms of the stuff that we're doing, like general managers, like the one bus company, stuff that, I think speaks for itself, which is why people like Rushnoff and Brodsky and others, which has been written about, albeit, buried in the back pages, have said, we're making, really good progress. I mean, we're trying to transform the entire culture of New York City Transit. This is an organization that's been at war with itself for 70 years. One of the reasons why we had a strike in 05, making very nice progress, working with a union that's been collaborative on that. But we need the money.
And we'll
take budget cuts, proportionately, but from the capital side, we need help.
And speaking of needing the money, it's 10:30, and momentarily, Governor Patterson, is he starting? No, okay, I'm looking at a monitor now. Momentarily, we expect Governor Patterson's fiscal crisis news conference, and we'll go to it live. But while we have a minute,
sure.
Another experiment the MTA is trying right now happens to be up in my neck of the woods on the BX-12, which crosses Fordham Road and Pelham Parkway. And I'm going to have to ask you this another time, because here comes Governor Patterson to talk about the fiscal crisis. Lee Sander, Executive Director and CEO of the MTA, thank you very, very much.